It's Wednesday, June 11th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. Welcome to the Daily Audio Stash. Still chopping up some of the audio and video from the Aspen Normal Legal Seminar up in Aspen, Colorado this last weekend. Check out the special page I've set up. You can find it in the important Stash link on the right side of the page at stash.normal.org. There's a link right there to our Aspen archive page. You'll find the full audio from all of the presentations as well as YouTube clips from the presentation. So if you weren't able to be in Aspen, this will be your way to learn what we learned while we were at the Aspen Legal Seminar. Coming up on today's Stash, we're going to be playing for you the remarks of Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, as he identified all of the emerging issues for the cannabis community. It's a two-part segment. We'll play the first part, then we'll do our musical break, and then we'll get our second part for you. And for our musical break today, we got some music from the Green Team, some hip-hop, song called 2 Gram Blunt, which is a great little hip-hop tune, so check that out during our musical break. And of course, don't forget to support our sponsors here on the Daily Audio Stash. They're the ones that help keep this music and information coming to you, so check out those commercials and visit our sponsors if you can. All right, everybody, sit back and relax and grab some Mary Warner. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Scotland. Now experts say cannabis should be legal. From Scotsman.com News. Cannabis should be legalized and taxed, an influential Scottish think tank recommended yesterday, just weeks after the government hardened its attitude towards the drug, reclassifying it as a Class B substance. The Scottish Futures Forum yesterday published a report on drugs and alcohol in Scotland, saying one way to tackle the problem of addiction to harder drugs was to tax and regulate cannabis. Forum chairman Frank Pignatelli said studies of San Francisco, where cannabis is illegal, and the Netherlands, where it's decriminalized, showed that the idea was worth considering because it breaks the link with Class A drugs. In the Netherlands, only 17% of cannabis sellers were also selling drugs such as crack, cocaine, and heroin, while in San Francisco, it was more than 50%. The idea was one of several aimed at halving drug addiction in Scotland by 2025. The forum's suggestion has been welcomed by the Legalized Cannabis Alliance UK, which claims Scotland is leading the way on the issue. Don Bernard, a spokesman, said, quote, "The Scots seem to have been taking a more mature view, and I hope the recommendation is taken seriously," end quote. The idea has also been backed by the Greens. Patrick Harvey said, quote, "The current approach to criminalizing drug users has been one of the most obvious failures of social policy over the last 50 years, and the Futures Forum should be thanked for their efforts to move the debate on. We broadly welcome their report," end quote. Yeah, see, the only way that marijuana is a gateway drug is that it takes you to the gate of the drug dealer who's also selling harder drugs. You know why scotch isn't a gateway drug? because there's no shelf full of cocaine next to it at the liquor store. When one out of six Dutch pot dealers offer hard drugs compared to three out of six San Francisco dealers, it becomes obvious that criminalization of cannabis is exacerbating hard drug use. Grand jury to investigate death of Rachel Hoffman. From ABC News. A grand jury is being convened that will investigate the controversial death of a 23-year-old Florida woman who was killed while acting as a confidential police informant in a sting operation last month. The panel is expected to look into the case of Rachel Hoffman, whom Tallahassee City Police recruited to work as a confidential informant in April after raiding her house and reportedly finding marijuana and ecstasy. The police have said they offered Hoffman a deal. If she worked as a confidential informant, the state attorney would, quote, decide how to balance your assistance with your crime, end quote. But State Attorney Willie Meggs has said his office was not informed of the deal, and it was inappropriate for police to offer such an arrangement without a prosecuting attorney involved. Lance Block, an attorney hired by Hoffman's father after his daughter's death, said flatly he doesn't believe the deal went down the way the police have described. According to friends of Hoffman's, in whom she confided, Block said police told her she faced as much as 4 years in prison if she did not accept the offer. Block said, quote, they told her it will all go away if you help us get some bad guys off the street, end quote. State Prosecutor Owen McCall told the Tallahassee Democrat, quote, it is my strong preference that the people who are in drug court not be around this kind of thing, end quote. And a local public defender told the paper there was an informal practice that people in drug court don't act as informants. Quote, the thinking being that someone in drug court is trying to get away from drug activity and drug use, end quote. Hoffman was never booked into jail after the raid on her apartment. She began to work with a Tallahassee police investigator, and police have said she offered two men, Andrea Green and Danilio Bradshaw, as possible arrest targets. Attorney Block said Rachel had no prior relationship with the men, as he believes the police have suggested, but learned of them through an intermediary who told her about them while she was assisting the police. Police have confirmed they gave Hoffman $13,000 in cash and set her up to buy 1,500 hits of ecstasy, cocaine, and a gun from Green and Bradshaw. A police spokesman said he was not sure why a gun was involved. I can tell you why there was a gun involved. These cops are trying to take down a couple of bad guys, and they know that when there's a gun involved in a drug transaction, the mandatory minimums increase substantially. It's a part of the game for them. They get a low-level pot dealer like Rachel, set her up with an offer she can't refuse, and use her as bait to catch the bigger fish. The longer those mandatory minimums, the less the defense is going to be able to plea down for a better deal. Just how stupid could these cops be? You're going to send a 23-year-old woman to some really bad news dealers with a history of violence on their rap sheets and just out of the blue have her buy 13 grand in coke and X and a handgun. Nah, that wouldn't set off any red flags in a typical dealer's mind. Oregon County appeals concealed handgun versus medical marijuana decision. From OregonLive.com. Washington County's Board of Commissioners Tuesday approved filing an appeal of a circuit court judge's ruling that federal firearms laws do not supersede Oregon's medical marijuana law when it comes to obtaining a state concealed handgun license. Sheriff Rob Gordon revoked or denied concealed handgun licenses to Stephen Schwert, Paul Sansone, and Lee Wallach on the basis that they disclose they have used a controlled substance, medical marijuana, regularly and for prolonged periods of time. Gordon believes these people are barred by federal law from possessing firearms. Judge Stephen L. Price said, as a matter of law, Oregon's concealed handgun license requirements do not include abstaining from medical marijuana nor qualifying to possess firearms under federal standards. The commissioners agreed with Gordon's opinion that it is necessary to obtain a binding legal opinion on the issue from the Oregon Court of Appeals. County Council also wants answers to questions about whether issuing permits could subject the sheriff and the county to federal prosecution or civil liability. The attacks on medical marijuana patients for their legal, state-approved use of cannabis are staggering. In addition to wanting to deny patients their Second Amendment right to own a handgun, states have pushed to deny medical marijuana patients from having driver's licenses, from working in so-called dangerous positions, and from working as teachers, doctors, lawyers, public employees, or elected officials. Private enterprise, on the other hand, denies medical marijuana patients the right to work through drug testing. Government agencies evict patients from federally subsidized housing. Customs won't let patients cross the U.S.-Canada border. Divorce lawyers and child protective services will use a patient's medical marijuana use as a factor in determining the custody of patients' children. It all comes back to the criminalization of marijuana. The understandable blurring of the lines between recreational and medical use that are always going to exist so long as marijuana is prohibited to the majority of its users. For there are much more powerful legal prescription drugs than cannabis. But nobody fears the Prozac patient owning a handgun, the Xanax patient working in a dangerous position, or the OxyContin patient having a driver's license.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
My husband won't stop smoking pot in our home. This column was forwarded to me from Canada's Globe and Mail. It's from an advice column where a woman complains about her husband who won't stop smoking pot in the home. She's tried showing him all of the Reefer Madness health reports on cannabis, but he just won't stop. This paragraph is the one that really made me laugh.
When it comes to the health detriments and or benefits of marijuana, there's always been a thick wall of smoke dividing those on the pro side and those on the con. Pamela Stewart, a psychiatrist who works at Toronto's Center for Addiction and Mental Health, says your concerns about your chronic condition and your children's pink lungs are founded. She explains, quote, "The problem is the tar. It's a respiratory contaminant, and it raises your risk for a respiratory disorder," end quote. She adds that cannabis these days is 20 to 400 times more potent than it was back in the day, and is therefore more addictive, and the withdrawal is worse. If that weren't enough, she says that kids whose parents smoke are more likely to take it up themselves, and that cannabis introduced early in adolescence is a risk factor for schizophrenia. How's that for a good whack of ammo against your hubby?
Well, congratulations, Ms. Stewart. You've just discovered a cannabis strain that's 1,600% THC. Now, where can I get some? As we've debunked many times before, marijuana today may be at best twice as potent. Seizures of marijuana in the past were around 4% THC, and now they can get as good as 8% THC. Marijuana is not addictive in any serious gotta-go-to-detox meaning of the word. THC helps combat the effects of tar on the lungs, and marijuana can be vaporized or eaten to avoid even that effect. And finally, the cannabis schizophrenia link in young teens is more pseudoscience that has yet to be proven.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
We're bringing you more audio from the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar held this last weekend. These are the opening remarks from Executive Director Alan St. Pierre as he describes to us the emerging issues for the cannabis community. This is a two-part seminar. This is part one, and part two follows after the musical break.
Beyond just some welcomes and thanks, I'm going to try to identify in my brief remarks today, 10 legal conundrums or oddities that we're constantly faced at the national office. The state and federal roundup of some of the laws and initiatives that are in play right now, Pot and Politics 2008, and then some news on the Next Normal Conference, the webpage, podcasts, and blogs. There are 10 conundrums we face all the time beyond the 830,000-plus arrests that happen every year in the United States. Obviously, you know, as lawyers and the activists here, that these cases run the gambit. But there are 10 areas of law that are sort of catching our attention, some of which you will be familiar with. All of them are troubling at their core. One is the denial of medical patients, notably medical marijuana patients, the ability to access transplant organs. Douglas Hyatt, who's speaking today, who I'm sure will allude to this, represented an individual. I say represented because he has passed away, because he was not able to access a liver. And Doug, I think, will probably explain the absurdity of that case, and that is emblematic of what's happening all around the country. But the idea that a medical patient who's following their doctor's recommendation to use medical cannabis and then is denied access to a transplant of an organ, heart, lung, kidney, this is happening all the time, and it's very, very disturbing because there's no scientific reason why somebody should be denied an organ because they use cannabis, whether it's for medical purposes or not. Medical patients, notably the medical marijuana patients, are now being denied access to pain clinics and access to opioids around the United States, whether they're private clinics or the VA-run ones. This is coming up all the time where they test positive for THC and they no longer have access to opioids or other powerful narcotics. The increasing difficulty in the United States to cross our borders with Canada and with Mexico, notably Canada. I mean, if you just don't go through a pro forma crossover at one of the major crosses and you actually have to submit your name, many of us, just a simple Google search is going to keep you out of those countries, whether you've ever been arrested or not. Just the fact that you're involved in a marijuana law reform group, or that the internet can find that somehow ties you to the affectations of cannabis and counterculture, you're denied access into Canada. That's right. He should have been that lucky. And, of course, now people like himself and me, we can't accept lectures up to Toronto and McGill and other universities because it's not clear that we can actually get into the country. So this is very disturbing for intellectual, cultural exchanges and business, of course. What's that?
You told me that before you put me on the board.
Looks like I'm going to be stuck in the Bay Area. Parents, notably mothers, are having their custodial rights terminated. And this has been going on for years. It's something that is increasing in time. And it's something that Normal, the ACLU, and a number of groups, mainly in New York, advocates for pregnant women, have been working on for years. And these trends just keep going upwards. Customs and immigration, non-border areas in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, you're now finding some of these TSA immigration searches hundreds of miles from the border, and many of them are frankly just ruse for drug checkpoints, for which are supposed to be illegal under a Supreme Court decision a few years ago. At least they're supposed to be much more restricted than these absurd roadblocks that they're doing. So we're finding a lot of these cases starting to come in mainly from New Mexico and Arizona. Now you're hearing a lot of non-citizens who get arrested, of course, in these crackdowns on illegal immigration, and they get before a court, and they're not allowed to even make motions. You have judges now saying, well, this is an illegal immigrant. They don't have any civil liberties. They can't put forward any constitutional arguments. This, too, is happening more and more in the epoch that we're living in. We have a continuing wave of individuals being arrested on marijuana charges or for DUID charges that are asserting religious defenses. And, of course, this has always been kind of interesting gray area in marijuana laws, the idea that you could assert a religious defense. Well, of course, Indians have done it successfully for peyote. We have a small sect of sort of elite individuals who have done it under ayahuasca. But from that Supreme Court decision a few years ago, it was pretty clear from the majority decision that marijuana would, in their view, never qualify to be a drug that would be used as a religious exemption. But I think most of us feel like that is something that should be litigated to the tilt. And but one of the things we found vexing is, and I'll name it by brand name, is the THC ministry in Hawaii, who sells $250 religious defense kits. So in the last 2 months, I've had five or six people around the country get arrested and contact Normal who are asserting their religious defense based on their $250 purchase of a kit from Hawaii. So despite those not being necessarily a proper way to get to court, we still should litigate these matters. We have many of these cases. I'm sorry. We also have, particularly in places like California, the state colleges and universities are denying students access to school, to be in their dorms, to be in the fraternities, to be on the school property with their medical cannabis. They can be on campus with their OxyContin, with their methadone, with their Percocet, but they can't be on campus with their cannabis. So obviously we think we're going to be litigating that probably in California. Humboldt State University likely will be our test case. Why not? And of course there's high-tech interdiction and devices. This of course pushes the limit of the law all the time. And you know, ion scanners, full body scans, gamma busters, sniffing devices. The DEA has contracted with a couple of major genetic research companies to try to implant at the source. So if they catch somebody growing cannabis, they want to insert DNA tags onto that cannabis, and they will follow it from the point of production to the point of consumption, and then build the conspiracies all the way in. And Lee Berger, for a number of years, has rightly agitated, particularly on the West Coast, that we need to bring some common sense. While we might not be able to push the limit as far as we want on medical marijuana, we can certainly agree that if you're in California, Oregon, Nevada, Vermont, Rhode Island, that if you have access to medical marijuana in those states and you travel to another state, particularly another state with medical marijuana, well, there should be reciprocity there, to be sure. And this is something we should be able to do quite logically. It has to be done, I think, through legislation, but we should agitate through litigation to get to that point. We have Jerry's going to go through, you know, the big cases that the Supreme Court and the appellate courts are looking at, but when it comes to Washington, D.C., there's not a whole lot in play right now. You have H.R. 5842. It's the third or fourth version of a medical marijuana bill. Frankly, it's not going to go anywhere in this Congress, and even ASA, Americans for Safe Access, are not advocating strongly for it. But it is in the hopper, and the debate is out there. It's not going to get a subcommittee hearing. The bill that we're more excited about is H.R. 5843, the first decriminalization bill introduced in Congress in 25 years. Barney Frank and Ron Paul introduced the bill. We picked up four or five co-sponsors in the last couple of weeks. Again, in this presidential election, there will be no subcommittee hearings on this, to be sure. We've got to get through the next election. The Democrats will probably shore up a lot more House seats, certainly in the Senate. Who knows where the presidential race will go? But generally speaking, we've got a better chance next year to vet this. And really, decriminalization is the heart and soul of what most marijuana law reform is about these days. And it's great to have a bill, a maypole for us to all run around. We're into the 10th year of the John Getman petition, which is the extension of Normal's 22-year Normal versus DEA. So in 1997, Normal, along with former director John Getman and now five or six other groups, have 10 years, and these are 20-year proceedings to get through these rescheduling, but we're about the halfway mark. Those are proceeding along. The government has unbelievable opportunities to use dilatory tactics to pull this out to about a two-decade-old fight.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z guide to stoner language and life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Laying a cool groove for our midweek stash, Green Team is here with today's musical hit, 2 Gram Blunt, featuring Populous. The Green Team is playing for the home team in Fresno, California, and these boys have been rhyming together for 4 years. Green Team members are Knowledge, Flick E, Nate D, and Tree Choppa, the man who rolls the 2 Gram Blunt. It must be a party when the Green Team hits the door. Check out their MySpace page for more music downloads, some cool poster downloads, and some more info on these West Coast rappers. Tree Choppa gets an invite to all my future parties. We've got all the links you need at our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can also get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Green Team with 2 Gram Blunt.
On the low, we in the know.
Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate. 2 Gram blunt, rolled by Tree Choppa. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate. 2 Gram blunt, rolled by Tree Choppa. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy.
Swishers and backwards, bitches that act good. Gangsters and acts that you see up in a rap book. Read about them, sleep without them. When you see me in these streets, you gon' wish you had some weed up out your mouth to get you for your green. Hear my shit, man, it sounds so clean. I'm the motherfucker you see on TV. True that is, ho, waiting a CD. Get at me, you need some beats. Got the style that'll get you wiped off your feet. I'm the gangster Mac and you will all see. Don't believe me, you can ask TC. On the low, Murder Man Music, bitches. Down for the GT. Yeah.
We in the know.
Yeah. We in the know.
Yeah. We in the know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate. 2 Gram blunt, rolled by Tree Choppa. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate. 2 Gram blunt, rolled by Tree Choppa. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy.
Miracle-ish to unwanted seeds. I watch a homie's plant seeds to get bombings. They mix a drink and feed the pie. Double on the road, homies blowing bomb on the spot. Purple to white, it's AOB. North of the node, man, it's where I'm gonna be. Still copping bomb off the same OGs. Some of the bitches cop this on me. Yeah, you ain't heard it like this. Flows 4 days, put it down so crisp. Laced by the chopper Mac, I don't miss. Loved by so many, but so money won't diss. I just smoke my weed like I don't give a shit. Yeah, it's that fresh old kiss, so here I'm coming, man. That's a slap on your house. Get back, bitch, I'm blowing on my dro.
And I freestyle to eat.
Thank you.
purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your poopy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your poopy.
Yeah, on the low. Step one. Yeah, tree challenge. Now, murder me. Yeah, we in the know. Yeah, we getting green. Stack, boy. Watch it. Get it right. It's fire.
Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy. Purple, purple, chocolate, chocolate, 2 gram blunt, rolled by tree chopper. I'ma smoke the profits, then keep it moving. Give knowledge to the students, blow you out your goofy.
James Roquefort here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh well, now on with the show.
The second half of the opening remarks of Executive Director Alan St. Pierre at the 2008 Aspen Normal Legal Seminar continues now.
ASA, Americans for Safe Access, has something called a Data Quality Act challenge. It's kind of obscure. It was raised years ago in the environmental movement. It's never really been implemented effectively. It's never been used, but it was ideally set up, and I think everybody would agree, that when government is going to implement a policy based on science, that it actually use real science and not bullshit. Right? And so the environmental movement was able to get this DQA pass. It's never really been used, but ASA, quite smartly now, has gone before them and said, listen, with all this amazing scientific information about marijuana out there, regarding medical marijuana specifically, the government needs to actually employ verifiable, incredible data. And that is going on. That's now into its three and a half year challenge. This summer we will go through what I call Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment 5.0. That will be the fifth time that the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment will come up. That simply is nothing more than a spending amendment. We debate it every year. I personally think it's not a very good vehicle for reform. It's just essentially like a plebiscite. Last year, 162 members of the House voted for it. What it would do is stop the federal government, the DEA most notably, from spending federal dollars in states where there is medical marijuana laws on the books. And there's really no chance that it's going to pass. But it will be debated again. It'll be on C-SPAN. It'll be one of the few times the Congress actually talks about the issue of medical marijuana. And the Senate, by the way, has never even said the word medical marijuana. We have such a huge row to hoe in the Senate in the years to come. Michigan will, I believe, become the 13th or 14th state that will have medical marijuana laws. The polling and focus groups are excellent. It comes in usually between 58 and 65%, which is excellent. And it will have the most progressive laws in the Midwest, to be sure. It will certainly be the hallmark in the Midwest. Missouri, Illinois, Minnesota, and Ohio are all debating these. But Michigan will lead the way likely on this. Massachusetts, while the focus in polling groups aren't clear that it's going to pass, they have a decriminalization initiative before them. And, you know, I'm from Massachusetts. I'd like to say I'm confident it's going to pass, but in 1998, there were similar initiatives put forward, and the Archdiocese of Boston and others really came down hard on it, and this incredibly liberal state, pause for laughter. We all hope it passes, but it's not clear that it's going to at this point, but it will certainly make big news. And Maine already has medical marijuana laws on the books. DPA, Drug Policy Alliance, came in last week with an emergency grant of about $50,000 to resurrect an initiative process up there. They're almost certainly going to get the signatures they need. They only need about 47,000 or so. And that only amends the current law there, effectively just makes it better, to use layman's terms. So those three states will be voting in binding initiatives. New Mexico and Rhode Island. New Mexico, I have great fear that New Mexico is not going to follow through with the legislation that it passed. It passed medical marijuana laws that are the most progressive in that they call for a distribution, whether that's the state distributing cannabis or whether they license a third party. But I think many of us would think that, and I'm certainly one of them, thinks that this is not possible under the current federal law. And so what I think is going to happen in New Mexico is they're going to balk on this. It's going to essentially be a self-preservation law. Individuals will be able to grow cannabis, possess a small amount, but the state is not going to touch a seed or a clone and hand it off to another person. I think rightly they might be in violation of federal law. Rhode Island, though, Rhode Island has passed a much more progressive law, and their Senate voted 24-3, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And while their House has to take a look at this, if they pass it and it is veto-proof, because last year we had to actually get through a governor's veto, and we did, to get medical marijuana on the books there. So Rhode Island could actually be the first state that would pass laws that would effectively challenge the federal government and allow the state to either license or actually distribute. So for those of us not from California, you can see the retail-like environment of access to medical cannabis out there. It is starting to emerge in states like Nevada and here in Colorado. This is nothing like what's going on out east, let alone a state actually getting involved in it. So I think Rhode Island has a good chance of becoming the first state that actually, at least challenging the federal government on distributing cannabis, not just sort of allowing it in a highly decriminalized manner. California and Oregon, this is a great example of how when you elect legislators who reflect your mores and values, you might actually get a semblance of sane laws coming down the path. So there was a case that came in the Supreme Court in California about 2 months ago. It was Ross versus Rage Wire, been pending for a couple of years, very important case. It essentially said that, you know, if you're a medical marijuana user and your employer wants to drug test you, particularly if they're under some sort of federal guideline to do so, they can do it. And so thankfully, California immediately started to move to pass legislation to protect patients in the workplace, and that has a good chance of passing, I believe. Let's see if the governor will sign it. Oregon hasn't forwarded any legislation yet, but there are efforts underway, and it seems like a right place to actually get those protections out to patients. I'd like to acknowledge two things here. One is that one of the first states that decriminalized in the 70s, Nebraska, tried to recriminalize marijuana this past year. And Don Fiedler, who was Normal's director from 1989 to 1991, he passed away about a month ago. Don was a brilliant lawyer. And one of his last acts, if you will, as a lawyer, was to lobby for Normal in Nebraska. And while he couldn't beat down the efforts to amend the law, he came up with a great compromise, and that was rather than to recriminalize proper, they simply raised the fine based on the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. That was the compromise. So in Nebraska, it's still decriminalized. You just simply have to pay a little bit more, and we can thank Don Fiedler for that. And then lastly, we have the here in Denver, and then up in Minnesota, there's going to be the RNC and DNC conventions. None of the groups, MPP, Normal, DPA, ASA, nobody is going to be able to impress upon these candidates to legalize marijuana, to decriminalize marijuana, or frankly, even to make it available to the sick, dying, or sense threatened. So the thing that we're going to impress upon them, and I'm going to certainly ask my colleagues in Washington to join us in this endeavor, is to simply sort of return to the past, if you will, and ask for a presidential commission. We know that the presidential commissions, just like every other major commissions ever convened on the topic of cannabis, always, all 14 of them since 1888, always say the drug should be decriminalized, if not legalized. So we'd like to give one of these two candidates, you know, a couple year pass on this. They can, you know, just like Keith and others in 1970 agitated for the Schaefer Commission, and even though you can listen to Richard Nixon screaming at Governor Schaefer when he comes into the room to tell him that they want to advocate to decriminalize marijuana, of course, Nixon said it was DOA. Well, Keith took that as a writ and went to all 50 states, and one of the reasons why one-third of the United States, the citizenry of the United States, live in a municipality or state where marijuana is decriminalized is because they took that as a writ and went to all 50 states and said, listen, you can deviate from the federal law. So even though I know it's terribly incremental and it's boring and it's not sexy, I think a presidential commission is what we're going to be asking for the whoever wins this presidential sweepstakes. Normal's webpage is incredibly hot right now. This is, and I think back to all the years that Normal's been around, and we used to, you know, used to begin with running off newspaper and mimeographs, and then we moved to copying machines and fax machines. And today, roughly 35,000 people a day come to the Normal page. They download 1.5 million pages of information a day. 30,000 people a day listen to Russell's great podcast that comes off at 4:20 every day. We introduced, after the last Normal legal seminar meeting in December, Jerry Merritt and others really said, you know, Normal should have blogs. And so we introduced blogs. The blogs have taken off. What we're going to do is introduce an NLC blog. And what I'm inviting you to do is to be part of this. It's a great thing for your business. It's a great way to get out intellectual information. And so we're going to be asking members of the NLC, 585 members of Normal's Legal Committee. When I joined Normal in 1991, we had 135 lawyers on the committee. Now we have almost 600. And so we're hoping that you'll join us in this publishing endeavor and reach out to these hundreds of thousands of people that read these blogs every day and week. We have a project that's going to come up, and I'm just going to allude to it. George will talk about it later in the day, George Rohrbacher. But on the 10th of October, the 20 millionth American will have been arrested on marijuana charges. And so we have some important components of an advertising effort here. We have the photograph of the very first person ever arrested for marijuana under federal laws, Samuel Caldwell. We know the date of the arrests. We know the 20 millionth arrest. And so we're going to be launching a campaign this summer to try to bring attention to the 20 millionth arrest. Now, of course, you know, who cares, 20 million? That's such a round number. You know, 17.5 million suck just as much. But for whatever reason, you know, in our society, we try to gravitate towards these lovely round numbers. And lastly, the Normal conference this year, I just signed the contract, is October 17th through the 19th in Berkeley. I will put out information in a couple of days about all the codes. For those of you who are lawyers who have never come to a Normal conference, please consider going. While seminars are great, the Normal conferences have 500 to 600 people there. And while the legal committee is a major component of it, matter of fact, Michael Stepanian came and gave us an incredible keynote speech last year, a great example of how the NLC is the horseshit and bubblegum that holds the organization together.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one some reefer madness from back in 1931, according to Dr. A.E. Fossier from the New Orleans Medical and Surgical Journal. Quote,
under the influence of hashish, those fanatics would madly rush at their enemies and ruthlessly massacre everyone within their grasp.
End quote. Yeah, the old hash assassin myth. That's right. That's, never met a more dangerous or violent person than a marijuana smoker, huh? Anyway, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and more presentations from the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. Until that time, take care of each other, tokers.